Would you explain to us what this H5N1 virus is?
Well, actually, it's what's called an influenza A. There's basically two types of flu. One is called B that we have in humans. That's just a human flu. The influenza A is a bird flu, and most of the flus we get here are bird flus that convert over. There's thousands and thousands of varieties of bird flu. H5N1 is a variety of bird flu that is pretty deadly in birds, and that's the reason it's been getting all its attention. We've had trouble controlling it over the past 8 years. We think we have it snuffed out, and then it smolders and comes back. And it's just that it's pretty deadly in birds. Now, the way this H5N1 works, and all the influenza A's work, is they're in waterfowl. They basically live in ducks and in geese, and ducks don't die from them. They don't get very sick. But if a chicken gets it, you know, you can imagine what we do to chickens. If chickens don't have any defenses, the way we make them on farms and stuff, they don't have any real immune defenses. So something like a bird flu is very deadly to a chicken, even if it isn't to a duck.
Well, why does this always seem to happen out there in Asia, Mark?
That's a great question, George. The reason it always happens in Asia is because the whole culture is different in Asia. You know, we think of birds one way, and that it's totally different in Asia. I mean, chickens walk the streets in Asia, and they're put together in cages with other birds. And, you know, if a chicken dies in a cage, it's left there, and then the other birds are with it. And then it could be sitting next to a cage of ducks. So if the duck is infected, the chicken catches it, and then it goes to 5 other chickens, to 100 chickens before you know it. You know, and then, of course, chickens are friends of people there and pets. We don't do anything like that here. Our chickens are locked away in buildings for their whole lives, you know, before they're cut for poultry, for food. But in Asia, they're part of the culture, and it's very, very hard to get that to change. Plus, there's not the kind of sanitation over there. So birds are really capable of getting diseases and transmitting them very easily. That's the same reason, by the way, that humans are getting this virus occasionally in Asia, not often, because it's really a bird flu. But it gets over to people because of very, very close contact. I mean, some of the ritualistic practices in Asia, like the way they do cockfighting, you know, they actually wet the saliva of birds with their fingers. That's going to transmit this virus. And bird handling, I mean, you know, we don't do that here. We do it with machines. So it's very different culturally, and that's why the bird flu gets transmitted around so easily over there.
Mark, they're starting to, at least they say in Thailand, this is mutating to 2 humans now. Again, we believe this is not going to be a pandemic. You believe this is not going to be a pandemic. Hence, of course, the book that you've written way before the virus, of course, The False Alarm, The Truth About the Epidemic of Fear, which has to do with a lot of profit-taking, and we'll talk about that tonight. In this particular case in Thailand, 2 people, they say it's mutated from human to human. I mean, is that expected?
Well, George, first of all, unless they look at it under the microscope, and I mean a real electron microscope, you know, to look at the DNA, they cannot tell if it's mutated. And influenza viruses mutate all the time. So I saw that report also, and frankly, I don't really feel at this point that we have any evidence that it's mutated. It would mutate if a scientist realized it in the laboratory, or if it started spreading easily human to human. We don't always know the whole backstory from some of these things early on, and they come out with a story, oh, it passed from one sister to the next, but, you know, then a little time passes and we find out it didn't. This virus has been occasionally affecting a human for about 8 years now, and it changes all the time, and I am definitely not saying, and I said on the program before, I'm not saying that it couldn't end up being a form that passes human to human. It's just that the chances of that are low. You know, people talk all the time about the 1918 virus, the Spanish flu, but you know it doesn't come out ever, George? Nobody knows that virus actually wasn't very deadly in birds. It was in humans. In other words, we're looking at this at the wrong end of the periscope. We're looking at a bad bird virus, and we're worried about it from the human point of view. But even if a mutation occurs to that virus, it may end up as a harmless form. A lot of times, these viruses change and they don't affect us. We can't know what's going to happen with this one, and it's the unknowing, as we'll talk about later. The unknowing, the uncertainty, is what breeds fear.
Aren't we in now the what I would call the typical flu season in this country? Because if we are, nobody's talking about that.
Well, and you know, George, I'm concerned about that. I mean, people are constantly talking about bird flu, and they're not necessarily getting their regular flu shots. So the regular flu, you know, kills 36,000 people in the U.S. every year, and flu season isn't quite here yet. It'll be here in about 2 or 3 weeks, and we need to keep our eye on that. You know, there was an article recently in one of the newspapers here about how you should have a pneumonia shot if you're in an elderly or you had chronic illness, and that was a very good thing. But the story put that together with the bird flu. Like, if there ever were a pandemic, you'd want to have a pneumonia shot because that's one of the things that gets you. And, you know, all my patients were in the next day asking for a pneumonia shot. But I knew they were asking for it because they had the bird flu in the back of their mind.
Yeah, exactly.
And the thing has gotten out of control in terms of people's impression that it's imminent, and it's not.
Do you sense panic out there, Mark?
Well, it's not quite panic yet, because I think that people do understand that this is a bird problem, but I think it's been ramped up to the point where there's a lot of worry, and it's really unnecessary worry. You know, your bird feeders are safe, you can eat turkey, you can eat chicken. Around Thanksgiving, people didn't want to eat turkey. I mean, that's just, there's not even a bird here that has it, and you know, we don't have the regular migratory patterns. I've been talking to people at the USDA, we don't even have the regular migratory patterns here in the U.S. that they have over in Asia and the Middle East. For a bird to bring it here, they have to fly over Siberia and come to Alaska. Now, that can happen, but it's a very, very low likelihood. We've seen this disease for 8 years, and it hasn't come here. And we certainly don't have to worry about our poultry here, because there's no birds here that have it.
What happened to the SARS fear from last year? Surely that can't be eradicated by now.
Well, that's my whole point, isn't it? I mean, that was a media ramped up fear. You know, again, it's the same thing. There's a kernel of truth to these things. And with SARS, we were worried about SARS because it was a virus we had never seen. And that kept getting repeated over and over. And it was supposedly so infectious and had gone from Asia to Toronto. And we had to cordon off all of Asia. I mean, as you know, millions and millions of dollars were lost, and people were afraid to go to a Chinese restaurant. It was absurd. But what happened was that it just went away. The virus just disappeared, and the media stopped covering it, which was the main thing. And we totally forgot that we were warned wrongly.